So got a couple of got a picture coming up on the screen. 18 months ago, I went. So this is is it relevant? Okay, making some connections here. 18 months ago, I went on a very long walk on my own, and I carried all my kit with me: my tent, my cooking gear, my sleeping stuff, my clothes, my food, my water, and off I went. And I knew my bag was really heavy before I started, so I decided not to weigh it. Because I thought, if I weigh it, I'll know how much it is, and I'll know before I begin that I'm not going to do very well. So I've just got to do it. So I did. And this is my favourite shot of the whole 12 days. It does look... No, not the next one, Andrew, this one. the next one isn't, don't turn to it yet, but this is, it looks romantic, doesn't it? It looks like, hey, I wouldn't mind doing that. You know, someone this morning said, well, where was that? So I think they might have been there. To be honest, I don't know if I was really there or not because of the next shot. I set off with my rucksack, and the next photograph coming up, that's the sole of my foot. You see, I've got a blister there on the bottom of my heel, the size of a 50 pence piece. That was within 3 hours of starting. I had 12 days to go. And if you think that's bad, look at the heel of the other foot. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it was a tough, tough call. I had blisters that size on my feet. Very, very heavy burden indeed. And a long way to go and a number of nights and being on my own. So, yes, very, very heavily burdened indeed. So you've probably seen enough of my feet, so let's close that one off. Thank you for that. I need someone who feels fit and strong to come and help me, just to be a little bit of a visual aid. Anyone want to volunteer to do that? If you don't, then I'll just ask Joel. so you all have volunteered Joel. Joel, are you willing to come to the front? And my rucksack over there, watch your back. Bring it over here, please, would you? And, oopsie daisy. Yeah, you want to put that on your back, both things there. Do come and stand right here next to me. He said. Okay, be gentle with it. Be gentle with it. Okay. Great, you feeling all right?
So far,
yeah, okay. Yeah, walk. 120 miles, 10 days a mile, 10 miles a day. My rucksack was just a little bit lighter. That is heavier than my rucksack was. But just for a moment, because we come into our world and we live in a world which is burdened and that burdens us, okay? And it comes through in all sorts of ways. Work, people talk about the double day. There's our paid employment. And then there's all the other work that we do to keep our house going, to look after our parents, to look after our children, to look after our family, and to engage in our neighbourhood. There's people talk about the double day. In fact, it's a little bit more than that, isn't it? Because the way that work has gone is that we say this related to other things like the family. Family is fragmented and nuclearised much more than it used to be, and so we have... moments where it's the family versus work, versus church, versus the neighbourhood, versus the things that we might be involved in, and all those other things. And those things vie for our attention and vie for our commitment. And it adds to a burden of our lives. We are stressed at work, and being absentee, off sick for stress, is a serious problem in the workplaces across Europe. More than that, we can actually feel trapped in our jobs. We want to get out. We want to leave. It's dull. It's boring. We don't like it. It's not fulfilling, but we can't leave. There's a mortgage to pay. You've just bought a new house. There's gas bills. There's children to care for and to look out for. And it's an enormous pressure on us. We feel trapped. And then there's family. I've talked about the way that our families and work vie for time and attention, and our stress and our strain. Single parents, it's a significant thing, isn't it? Being the only provider and the caregiver. There's isolation. Here's a quote from a woman making a comment about our culture. Melanie Hamlet says this about men. men have no friends, and women bear the burden. And the article that she wrote there was basically, many men, as they get older, have fewer and fewer friends, and what they do is share the burdens of their lives just with the woman in their life. So women are bearing their own burdens, their own issues, but having to bear a huge amount from the man in their life. And then there's the lonely burden of teenage girls and boys. There's the elderly. I don't want to be a burden to my family, the elderly say. And they are, but they don't want to be. And being a burden is a burden. And you feel, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I'm starting to move my feet. We've got a bit of a way to go. Seriously, those are first world problems, as you might call it. A refugee crisis, that's a big issue, isn't it? Poverty, unemployment, food banks, displacement, stress. We got two members of our congregation, of our church family, who in the next few weeks will be going to the Home Office again and having their situation in the UK reassessed. And it may go anyway. And they don't know. It's seriously stressful. It is a very big burden to carry. And we live in Sheffield, which is a city of refuge, isn't it? And can we bear this as a city? It's a good thing to be that, isn't it? But it highlights the problem that there's a great need in our world. And then there's human identity. And we've always had the question of, who am I? Or why am I here? But as I was growing up, who am I? Why am I here? There were certain things which were just in place in life which actually helped define you and who you were and what you were going to be doing with your life. You know, that's where you were born. Those who your parents were. And you had a role and things were pretty set. And nowadays, we're called to self-identify, aren't we? And I struggle when I go to Costa to choose whichever coffee. And now there's the pressure to self-identity, then identify whatever I am in life, and then live with the consequences. And people are already discovering now some consequences of taking serious decisions about self-identifying. Now they realise that may have been a wrong decision. Now what do? As we've been living with this kind of world for long enough for those things to become a little bit clearer. And then there's communication, the social media. We hear about disasters and wars and global warming, and there's this pressure, we must do something, blaring out to us, you must do something too, and I think, I can't do anything. What can I do? What can I contribute? What difference do I make? And it's just another great big burden that is there upon our shoulders. So, that is the kind of world that we live in. You can take that off. Let's help you a little bit undo that.
It's very heavy, guys.
There we are. Let's just put that down there. Thanks. Yeah, big round of applause for Joel there. John. So what does the Bible have to say? What does God have to say? Alex, I think you're reading our reading, are you? Oh, it's Alex. Alex. Someone said, that, well, yeah, Alex is a boy's name, it's a girl's name, and I've been misled. It's Alex. Thank you. That shocked you, didn't it?
11:25-30. It's on 816 of the church Bibles. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Thank you very much.
Keep your Bible open there, and we're going to be thinking about the words of Jesus and what he has to say about burdens and the burden world in which we live. Well, this Bible Talk series, Taste and See, Relish Jesus, like I said, it's a summary of the Christian message of the gospel. And we're not beginning tonight with creation or judgment or God's holiness or God's anger. We're beginning with the outline of the Christian message with the hassled, hurting, broken, heavily burdened humanity that we are a part of. Striking, isn't it, how Jesus speaks into our situation with our felt and real needs, our longings for something better, our inability to free ourselves from the physical, from the emotional, and from the spiritual stresses that we face in the world and that we have in our lives. This gospel outline is not new, and it is not an original idea. Chris and I have been perhaps given it most thought, along with Fee, and then anyone else that has been around. When we've been talking about it, we've got involved in the conversation. So quite a few people have got involved with this and developing the artwork to make it Sheffield related in the end. But it is actually 470 years old, this gospel outline. And it comes from an era back in the UK, in England, when people weren't really reading their Bibles or begun to read their Bibles, 200 or 300 years before what we call the Reformation. And people began to read their Bibles and began to discover things about God that they hadn't known before. Back in those days, you go into a church building and you see a whole load of pictures of people being thrown into hell. And the big idea for God was, seriously, you better buck up your ideas or I'm going to send you to hell. And then if you got past those pictures, you'd see a great big statue of Jesus Christ on the cross. And the great message there is, look what he did for you. What have you done for him recently? And if you don't buck up your ideas, well, look at the other pictures, you end up in hell. And it was all of that kind of like stuff. And folks began to read their Bibles, like Thomas Cranmer, the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's the one who put this together. And thought, well, hang on, God is remarkably kind and gracious and loving. And he comes right down to where we are and meets us where we are. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. So they began to talk about divine allurement, the attractiveness of God. Taste and see, relish Jesus. That's where the whole idea comes from for this series. And so there's the verse coming up on the screen. That's what we're going to be looking at. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. One of the verses that Alex just read for us. And all I'm simply going to do is just break that down. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So first of all, come to me. That's the words of Jesus. Come to me. What would we expect God to say to our world? What would we expect God to say to our world about its burdens? What sort of things do we say to one another? Do we say to one another in our networks, in our friends, in our cultures, in our culture about the world and about the issues that there are and the burdens? Well, there's the fatalistic response, isn't there? That's just the way it is. So kind of like suck it up, get on with it. It's the way it's always been, live with it. Or kind of like learn the lesson. You packed your own bag, you carry it. Well, that's kind of like what I set out to do as I went on my long walk. You know, I knew within minutes of walking off that this is going to be a heavy load. Tanya dropped me off and she drove off in the van and I was stood by some trees. I waved at her and she didn't even see me. And I was thinking, this is heavy. And I walked off through some trees thinking, goodness me. Get on with it. You packed your bag. You decided to do this. Live with it. And if it's God, you may as well, you know, God said, well, you've ignored me. And you're not interested in me. Don't believe me. You'd kind of like expect God to say, well, if that's your decision, then seriously, find out what it's really like without me. But God's not that kind of God. He comes in Jesus and says, come to me. There's the empty platitude. Well, you know, you'll pull through. Cheer up, things will get better. Or there's words of wisdom. There's the fourfold pathway to peace, giving, enlightenment, which, you know, Eastern thought, one might head down that way. Or the five pillars of a religion that will lead you to understand God and to know peace. Or seven sacraments that you could follow through on that will draw you nearer and nearer to God. Or 10 self-help steps from Psychology Today. And Jesus doesn't say any of that. Jesus doesn't even say, go to God. He says, come to me. Come to me, which is absolutely extraordinary. It's extraordinary for a number of reasons. Here are just two to start off with. Number one, the Lord Jesus knows and sees our burdens and the burden of the world. And his invitation is kind, it's compassionate, it's sympathetic, it's caring, it's loving. Jesus is none of the above, those other things that I've just quoted. He doesn't stand aloof. He gets right stuck in, into the mess of our lives. There's a phrase that I remember seeing and it made me chuckle. A friend in need is a friend to be avoided. And I go, oh, you know. And then I'm 55 now and I've lived long enough to realise actually that that's actually sometimes the way we live. I've been around long enough to know, to have been bereaved, to know others who've been bereaved, you know, that they're in a situation, they're walking down the road, they see somebody they know, and they know that person knows that they've had a loss or something's gone on, and they found difficult, and that person pretends or looks like they've not noticed them, but and they cross the road. Because they won't know what to do. A friend in need is a friend to be avoided. And sadly, that's often how we deal with one another. But Jesus isn't like that. He says, come to me. It is a remarkable and a stunning invitation to bring our burdens, to bring our mess, to bring whatever to him. That's the first thing which I think is extraordinary and stunning. Here's the second thing, that Jesus claims to be able to shoulder, to carry and to bear the world's problems. And that's an even bigger thing which is assumed with this. You know, is he the false megalomaniac kind of a guy, or is he the true majesty of God? I don't know anyone through my life who's ever said that they think that Jesus was a fool. Now, you read the life of Jesus, you read his teachings, and he's profound. He's a remarkable person. You know, people sometimes will misunderstand the Bible, misunderstand people like the Apostle Paul and say, you know, I love Jesus and what he said, but the Apostle Paul went and mucked it all up. Excuse me, people don't have a problem with Jesus. But think about this. If Jesus really said that, then either he really meant it or he's a nutter. That's the option that C.S. Lewis back in the day gave. And the answer that Jesus himself gives is in verse 27. So look, please look down at the Bible there in front of you and look at verse 27. And Jesus says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus claimed right there to be the absolute unique Son of God, the complete and perfect revelation of God. Want to know God? Well, let me introduce you to Jesus. You don't need to go anywhere else. Meet him and you will know God. I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus says in the other gospel, John's gospel. Jesus Christ is just sheer, extraordinary. There's no middleman or middle woman. There's no saints to go to pray to before Jesus. There's no preacher. There's no priest. There's no guru. He says, come to me direct. Just go to him. Come to me, says Jesus. And how do we do that? What does it mean to come to Jesus, to go to Jesus? Well, he answers that himself in verses 25 and verses 26. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. See that? Revealing to little children, hiding them from the wise and the understanding. So how do we come to Jesus? We come to Jesus like children, just as we are. We've already seen we can't carry our burdens. The things that stop us coming to Jesus, it's being wise in our own eyes. It's thinking that we're deserving or good or clever or we got some sort of insight, that we're intelligent, we're sorted, we're spiritual. No, come like a child. I don't know. Can you tell me? That's my grandson Jude's favourite response when you ask him a question. Even if he knows the answer, he says, "Can you tell me?" I mean, I love asking him questions just to hear him say it. Can you tell me? And that's the way we come. I don't know, Lord God. Can you tell me? And he will. I can't do it. Can you help me? A child going to an older person for help, going to a teacher, going to a parent. It's too heavy. Can you help me carry it? I needed someone like that with me. It's too heavy. Can you help me carry it? The invitation of Jesus is stunning and wonderful and remarkable. Come to me. And the next phrase is this. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. What do we bring to Jesus? Do we bring to God our good works? Do we bring our religious commitment? Do we bring our spiritual experiences and our giftedness? No. Bring your burdens. Bring your burdens. All your burdens. All your felt needs. All your real strains. All your stresses and your heartaches. Your labor and heavy laden. This is feeling language. This is felt stuff. Okay? Jesus says, bring it to me. Don't leave it behind. And it's for everyone. All who feel these ways, that are finding it hard to persevere. The old King James Version of the Bible talks about being weary and heavy laden. Come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there are a load of things on our hearts that we would love to be free from, but we can't be free from on our own. There's the religious pressure we might face, or cultural expectations and traditions from our culture, our religion, or just our family. There's a new kind of expectation and pressure that comes in our culture, which we could almost say is religious, at least an enormous amount of time commitment and energy and worship. We could call it that, couldn't we? It's all on the small screen that we have. The social media. And it puts massive pressure on us to dance to its tune. And to live in its way. And to live up to its expectation, whatever it is. Who's behind it all? But it's real, isn't it? I mean, I can hardly remember a day now, and it wasn't that long ago, when you could go anywhere without a phone because there wasn't one. You had to use one at the end of the street. And now we're totally reliant on them. And maybe it's the search for truth that burdens us, or the search for identity or belonging. Those are big things, aren't they? Those are not small things. These are real things, and they're felt things. Maybe regret, remorse over past mistakes, anxiety about the future, maybe illness, pressure to succeed academically or in career and work, maybe failed dreams. Here's another social observer writing, this is it, from July last year, and talking about failed dreams. I'm burdened by the life I never lived, by the wild man I never released. I shared this morning, because I talked about this heavy burden and going for a long walk, I was stunned by the number of men. There was a lot of men here for a baptism, and women as well, for a baptism. The place was filled with all sorts of men, my age and over and a bit younger. And they want to talk about going on a long walk. And they wanted to release the wild man. One even said that to me just by the door there. And sort of living with regrets over those things. But there are other serious things, aren't there, that we regret having done or not done. Over the Christmas, a younger friend, a member of my own family, in his early 30s, married, two children, talked to me about intense worry about eternity and judgment. And he feeling it. It's a real burden. Guilt. Sins that enslave us to our own selfishness, our own way, to our possessions, to our identity, to our own wealth and our own woes, and even self-pity. We get so attached to our burdens. You know, is the burden attached to us, or are we now attached to it? George Bernard Shaw said this: people become attached to their burden, sometimes more than the burden is attached to them. And it's true, isn't it? If you ever read C.S. Lewis, who wrote a fantastic book called The Great Divorce, slightly weird in some ways, about a busload of people who get on a bus in hell and go on a little tour of heaven, where it's like a bit in between place before heaven, where people are not quite there yet, but could get there yet. And they've got all sorts of hang-ups, and most of them are attached to something which is actually holding them back. And it's an amazing insight into human psychology. And the way our minds work, and people who just won't let go of something, they've just got to get let go of it, and they'll be free, but we won't. John Newton, writer of Amazing Grace, the hymn, and a whole load of other hymns as well, actually said this: we can easily manage, if we will only take each day the burden appointed to it. But the load will be too heavy for us if we carry yesterday's burden over again today and then add the burden of tomorrow to today before we're required to bear that. And it's an insight into our psychology and the way we operate. There's the pressures of today, there's the burdens of yesterday, and there's the anxieties of the future, and the rucksack's heavy. And Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. What's God asking of you today? If you forget everything else from this evening, just remember this one thing. What does God demand of you? This. To bring him your burdens. Is that a burden? Some demand? No. Walk out of the world, we'll be aware of our anxieties and our fears and our concerns. Don't ever forget the great demand. This evening we're hearing the words of Jesus. Bring them to me. Bring them to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. And number three, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Look at verse 29 as well. Says this: you will find rest for your soul. I think he is talking about eternity there. I think rest is a big Bible theme. God worked 6 days in creation. He rested on the seventh. The seventh day, the Sabbath day, the day of rest, and the way the Bible unfolds all of that is that heaven is the great rest that we are looking forward to. And here is a promise for eternal rest for our souls. But there's rest too in the present time now. There's rest. And it's not a spa day and a sauna lying on a warm bed of stones and going into a jacuzzi and a steam room and having a tropical rain shower and then having a bit of aromatherapy and then a sort of swimming in an infinity pool overlooking the sea. You can see what I was doing on Thursday. I did all that on Thursday. Late night in Scarborough, there's an infinity pool. And you can see over the North Sea. But it's quite good, I have to say. That's not what Jesus is talking about. I think that's heaven. Not Scarborough, by the way. But look what he says in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. Verse 30. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now the picture coming up on the screen, because some of us may not know what a yoke is. It's not the yellow bit in the egg that's being referred to here, although a yoke is that bit of an egg. I don't really know much about farming. Jesus, who taught this, was a carpenter. I think he did. No doubt at all, he made quite a few of these in his day and made them well to fit. And what happens with a yoke is that it brings together two animals, two oxen, so that they work at the same pace, so they pull the same weight together, that they share the burden of the weight of the ploughing or the cart or whatever it is that they are pulling. That wooden collar allows the two animals to work together. The interesting thing is that I think that in the assumption that Jesus makes here is this, is that you and I are already, whether we're Christians or not, yoked to something already. We are all yoked to something. It may be some philosophy, it may be some religion, it may be some way of living our lives, it may be some narrative that you live with, that you think is the real you, and it's a terrible thing and a terrible burden. And you might actually meet to have counselling for someone to actually say to you, that narrative is a lie. But you're hooked up to it. What is it that burdens you? These things aren't happy, are they? Don't you long to be free from this yoke that you've got? And Jesus says, come to me, be yoked up with me instead. And I'll work with you. And it's profound. He comes right down to our level. He talks about being humble and meek and gentle. What a humble thing for the living God to say, to come to earth, to come amongst us and say, I will use the analogy of two cattle, two oxen, to tell you how I will walk with you. I won't go too fast. I will go at your pace. I will bear the weight with you. We'll do this together. It's a remarkable picture of life. To get unhooked from whatever it is that has been burdening us and then walk through the rest of our lives with Jesus Christ, the living God, who says that he will bear our burdens and his burden is easy and light. So what does it mean for the Lord Jesus to do that? Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, switch, receive Jesus into our lives, to him to carry things with you. Well, I just want to, just as I finish, I want to come back to my rucksack. And I don't need any help, Joel, so don't worry. And I want to just pick up those two phrases of Jesus about rest in this world and my yoke is easy and my burden light. I want to think about what that means. And secondly, Jesus says, I'm gentle and lowly of heart. How does that work out if we're going to walk through life with Jesus? Well, our lives are like this rucksack. And we fill them up with all sorts of bits of pieces of life and burdens. So our number that I'm in here. So there's number one coming out. There you are. Burden one. Regret. Regret over past failure. We read our Bibles. We will find that the God of the Bible is the kind of God who takes people like Abraham and Moses and Samson, who mucked their lives up, and Rahab, who is a prostitute, and Naomi, who her and her family did some foolish things and left the house of bread, Bethlehem, looking for bread. And Peter, who denied Jesus three times. And Paul, who went around persecuting followers of Jesus, and he flipped their lives right around and got rid of all that remorse, that regret. That is the burden carrying of Jesus. You don't have to carry it anymore. That's number one. What else have we got in here? Number two. That is present pressures. Do you like my visuals? Sorry, Joel. Now you're knowing what you were carrying. I can hardly carry this one on my own. I'm such a wimp. Present pressures. The expectations of others on us. The impact that other people have on us, perhaps at the moment. Perhaps a sense of injustice. Being wronged. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he faced injustice like none of us ever will. He was completely innocent and sentenced to death on the cross. We invite him into our lives. We bear his yoke. And he will show us, learn from me. He shows us how to walk through injustice. He will strengthen us and keep us, enable us. He will care for us. He does. What else have we got in here? You might have got a little bit of an inkling about what's coming out next. There you are. That one is worry. Worry about the future. Worry about health and work. And Jesus, the one who spoke these words, saying to you and me, come to me. As we were hearing last week, if you were around, I was on holiday last week, but Chris was speaking about Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There ain't nothing from the beginning of the universe to the very end of the universe that out of his hands. He'll take, that's what he says, my burden is easy and light. Why do we feel the burden of the future when Jesus has got it? That's what makes yoking up with him a light yoke, a lighter thing to bear. If, you know, if we carry that burden ourselves, well, it's not ours to carry. No wonder we can't do it. So those are things that relate to Jesus and him being the one who says that my yoke is easy and my burden light. What about those other things? Jesus says, I'm gentle and lowly of heart. We're nearly there, by the way. Rock four. Sin. Sin. Sin is real. If we ignore it, it will become intolerable. We cannot hide it. Be sure your sins will find you out. That's what the Bible says. It will come out eventually. Jesus is remarkably gentle and lowly of spirit. The back end of Matthew's gospel, this is from Matthew. Jesus goes to die on the cross and he's the innocent one. And he replaces a guy called Barabbas, who was sentenced rightly under Roman law to death. You've got this remarkable exchange. The guilty goes free, and the sinless dies in his place. You know, just talked about the lowliness and the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ to use an analogy of an oxen walking in life with you, goodness, there's nothing on where he went to in his lowliness for you and for me. Our sin, that is a rock we do not need to bear. We do not need to carry. And then the last one in here is guilt. This is associated with sin. And it's the biggest rock I've got. By the way, I've got plenty more of these at home. A few years ago, we had a big chimney stack reduced in height. And these are all the old chimney. Guilt is a terrible burden. It affects us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Jesus in his death on the cross. We had a baptism this morning. Water, it signifies cleansing, being washed clean. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be clean, cleansed of all guilt, all shame. We don't need to carry these anymore. I've got a challenge for anyone here who doesn't want Jesus to bear their burdens. If you want to own that decision, then I'm going to encourage you to be brave about it. Nail your colours to the mast, and please feel free to take home one of my rocks. As long as you do this one thing, for 1 week, carry it around with you everywhere you go in the plastic bag, and have the guts and the courage to tell everyone you meet that you decided to carry your own burdens, and this is symbolic. If you'd like, take two. No one took one this morning when I challenged. Seriously, this is a stunning, wonderful, taste and see, relish Jesus. He is a wonderful, wonderful, good Lord and God. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Let's spend a moment of quiet. Our musician's going to come out and get ready to sing. And just when they've gone out here.